Good morning, and thank you for listening to episode 28 of the Kitchen Stitches podcast. It has been a while, and I have missed you guys so much. I've really missed talking to you. I did not intend to take a month-long hiatus, but actually, that's exactly what happened. My last podcast was a month ago yesterday. Life got in the way. I've said at the beginning of the summer that my publishing status, my publishing schedule was going to probably be quite out of whack. And I tried to maintain it for a while, but then once I got back from vacation, I just couldn't find time to record. So with all that said, let me introduce myself to new listeners. I am Summer. You can find me on Ravelry as Summer Yarns, which is SommerYarns. I said on Ravelry, you can also find me on Instagram with the same username. And you can also join the Ravelry group. It is the Kitchen Stitches Ravelry group on Ravelry, obviously. So, school started on Monday, so hopefully I will now be able to get back into some kind of schedule as, well, you won't notice because you're not listening to it at exactly the same time I'm recording, but it is 6:30 on Wednesday morning, which is about the time that I was recording during the last school year. I don't remember when I started doing it, but I started the schedule, and it worked for me, and I think it will continue to work. I'm not sure what this podcast is going to sound like. I mean, not sound like, but as far as content, I have notes, but honestly, my notes were made for when I was going to podcast a couple of weeks ago and I never got a chance. And it would have probably been a lot longer just because I would have had more time. So I may have to condense it a little, which I don't think anybody's really going to complain about. I do want to tell you about my vacation. So if I have to end up having to stop and then record some more tomorrow morning or whatever to get this out, then I will. What am I going to talk about today? Finished objects, which unfortunately is not very much. whips that I've been working on, and that has been quite a lot. I've been making some good progress with no finished objects. A little bit of spinning, a little bit of enabling, and a little bit of in the kitchen, which, this seems to be a trend, is not really my cooking, but my daughter's, which is great. This is something I fully embrace. And what I've been up to is when I want to talk about my vacation. So I'm going to actually stick that at the end. I usually do that at the beginning. So let's just start off with the knitting. Finished objects. The only thing that I have finished, let me think about that and make sure that I haven't finished anything since I made these notes. I don't think so. The only finished object I have is my socks on a plane, which I finished on the first day of vacation, so exactly a month ago today. This is a free pattern by Laura Linneman, Lala of the Knit Girls. And I used Desert Vista Dye Works in her Zen Base in Fireworks for the Fourth, which was a self-striping with brilliant red and blue stripes with white with like fireworky speckles in between the red and blue stripes. Beautiful yarn. Absolutely gorgeous. There are some of the most brilliant socks I've had, and the pattern was a lot of fun. Very easy to memorize. There is a cable, but it is a super easy cable. If you are comfortable doing it without a cable needle, that works perfectly. I didn't use a cable needle. Love the pattern. The only problem I have, and this is not a complaint about the yarn at all. I'm sure Susan doesn't listen to my podcast, but I don't want anybody to think that I'm complaining. The only problem was that the yarn did run. Well, it didn't run. It bled. And it didn't bleed on my hands while I was knitting at all. And I don't, so I had no reason to suspect this. But the first day I wore them, and yes, I do wear hand knit socks in the summer because I work in an air conditioned building. I came home from work took off my shoes, took off my socks, and my feet were dyed red and blue striped. It was actually really, really, really funny. Like I said, not a complaint about the yarn. It's very vivid colors, and I'm not really sure that there's a way to do that without some bleeding. I'm not a dyer, so I don't know. I was really worried that they would be destroyed when I washed them, because I hadn't washed them yet. But I did a little research, and I ended up buying some of the Shout color catcher sheets. Stuck one in the wash and washed them by themselves, and it picked up the color, and they didn't run at all. So that was a big endorsement for that product. If you have knitting that, especially if it's something like this where you've got self-striping and you're worried that the stripes are going to bleed into each other, this seemed to work like a charm. And I can guarantee that if I hadn't used that, that they would have, I would have ended up with red, blue, and purple socks rather than red, white, and blue. Whips that I've worked on, works in progress. I'm going to keep this fairly concise. There's a lot that I've worked on, but not only a few things that I've worked on a lot. The first I have, let me start with what I'm currently working on. I am currently working on Little Pumpkins, which is a free pattern, sock pattern by Sabine Rupert, and I'm using Plucky Knitter, Plucky Feet, in the Grandma Bev colorway, which is kind of a terracotta color, but a little more on the wine side. I don't know how to explain the color exactly. Excuse me. And I need to take a drink of my coffee real quick. Sorry. It is 6:30 in the morning after all. Anyway, I started these, I'm going to guess it was probably close to a year ago. Didn't get them finished in time for the fall, so I put them aside, and now I want to finish them. I have talked before, and it's been a while, but I've talked about how I manage my works in progress, and I tend to keep a list of everything that I'm doing, and I go through cycles depending on how I deal with them. Currently, the way I am dealing with them is taking one project off of my works in progress list and working on that every day for a week. It doesn't mean I'm not working on other things too, but that's one project that I know that I'm going to dedicate a little bit of time to every day to try to make some progress in it. And usually I'll dedicate, at least a full, if I'm sitting around and watching television or a podcast or something, I'll dedicate at least one full podcast or television show to that project. And it's working pretty well. It's helping me get motivated to get some of these things out of the way. At the same time, there are other things that I really want to get to too, and the things that I want to get finished. Like these little pumpkin socks, I am just now starting I'm about a quarter of the way through the heel flap, which means I still have the whole heel flap, gusset, foot and toe to go, and it's Wednesday, and technically I only have three more today and two more days to work on that this week before I would move on to something else. I may decide to just keep going with these until I finish them. I have a long weekend for Labor Day, so maybe I'll do that this time. I'm regimented. I'm not stuck on something. Like if I need to modify it, I can. So what else have I been working on? The last week I dedicated most of my time to working on the Rainbow Dash, the My Little Pony stuffy that I started for my son, and who is, yes, 16 years old. I started this for him last year. I was going to be a birthday present for him for his 15th birthday. And it didn't happen. I had all of the body, head, legs, basically I had what looked like a deer done with one wing completed and the pieces of the other wing put together, but not put together. So over last week I got the rest of the second wing sewn together, plus there are two other smaller wings. I got those done. Plus, and sewn to the body, plus 3 stripes of the rainbow tail. So I made quite a bit of progress on that, and that was satisfying. I was glad to put that down at the end of the week. I don't crochet as much as I used to, and I found that if I crochet too much, it starts to hurt. My shoulders hurt a little bit, and I start to get, you know, feel like a little bit of repetitive stress. So putting that down after a week was fine. Okay, so what else? At work, I am working on my, what is this month? August socks, which this month is, do I even have these on here? No, because probably I hadn't started them yet. I am doing just, oh yeah, I do. Right there, the My Knitted Heart Vanilla Socks, which is another free pattern by Elizabeth Suarez. It's just, as it says, it's just a plain vanilla sock, except it has a little bit of ribbing on either side, so it pulls it in a little bit. It's a great pattern. It's kind of my go-to vanilla sock pattern, although I am getting a little bored with it. I am using Sock Bunny Studios in the Candy Corn colorway on her Miracle Base, which is 80% superwash BFL, 20% nylon. And this is the first time I have knit with BFL, and I'm really enjoying it. I really like the way these socks feel, and they're really cute. I have done one full sock, and I am, oh, it's a beautiful sunrise. Sorry. I can see out my window really pretty this morning. Sorry about that. I am done with the cuff and about 15 or so rows down into the leg. I unfortunately don't think that I'll actually get these done in August, which is really surprising because I cast these on vacation and got well into the cuff. I mean, I did probably almost 3 inches on them in the car and thought that I would finish them in no time. But no, for whatever reason, these are taking a lot longer and I am not making as fast progress as I had hoped. So I don't know what I'll do come September 1st. I don't know that I have a set of needles that I can start my September socks on. So I don't know what I'm going to do. Next, so those are actually the three, the main things that I'm working on right now are my socks at work and the little pumpkin socks. You'll have to forgive my cat who is croaking in the background. not literally croaking. He is agitated about something. He probably wants to go out. Just give me 1 second. Let me see if I can get him to go outside. Okay, I'm back. Sorry about that. I have one older cat who is very agitated by the younger cats in the house, and he will hide from them, and he howls when he feels cornered by them, and poor guy. But sometimes he just needs to go out. And he unfortunately is also, he won't use a litter box. It's not, well, he, unfortunately, he's old and he does pee in the house sometimes. But for the most part, he wants to go outside to use the bathroom. And so he also howls when he does that. Let's get back to the knitting. Okay, the other things that I have worked on over the past month, the Tannhaus Brook Shawl, which is a paid pattern by Jennifer Lassonde, who is Boston Jen from the Downseller Studios podcast. I am using a fiber shawl ball that I got at Into the Wool. It's the Into the Wool exclusive colorway, which I've talked about in previous podcasts. It is the main color is like a sky blue with pops of like leaf green and tree trunk brown, and it actually gradiates into this full brown. The yarn is great. The pattern is great. Everybody loves this pattern. I am having the hardest time with this pattern. I don't understand what it is. I mean, it's not hard. I understand the stitches. But every single row, I'll get to the end, I will count, and I will be off. No matter what. I can be as anal about it as I want to be. In every single row, it seems like I'm off. So, unfortunately, this one is in timeout for a while. I have a note in Knit Companion telling me that the next time I pick it up, I need to rip back several rows. I love the way this shawl looks. The pattern is written so well. Jen did an amazing job with this pattern. This is user error for sure. Nobody else seems to have quite the same problem that I'm having. But I was a little frustrated with that. Like, to the point that I almost frogged it. But I really want this finished project. Anyway, other things. I worked a little bit on vacation on my TGV, which is a paid pattern by Susan Ashcroft. I'm using Undead Yarn in the Zombified colorway, which is kind of a neon green with black speckles throughout it, or not black splotches and speckles throughout it. It's really interesting. I probably should have chosen a different project for this yarn, but now that I'm going with it, I'll keep it. I'd like to finish it. It would be fun to wear around Halloween because it is kind of ghouly looking. But yeah, I think socks might have been better with this particular yarn. I did not do very much on it. I did like a leg of a road trip in that, and it will be coming up sometime soon again into my rotation. Another one that I worked on just a tiny bit on vacation was my Sockhead hat, another free pattern. This one is by Kelly McClure. I'm using Desert Vista Dye Works in the Hamburg Philharmonic colorway on the Voir base, which is 100% merino. And this is the yarn I used to make my son's mitts for Christmas last year. And he chose the yarn. So probably the Sockhead hat will end up being for him too. But I don't know when I'll finish it. This is just one of those things. I had the leftover yarn and figured it would make a good socket hat. There's no rush on this project at all. I am still working on my sock yarn blanket. I have not been good about doing a square a day, but I am still on track to get it finished. This will be a graduation present for my daughter, who just began her senior year. And just plugging away on it. I have added some mini skeins. I don't know. I'm sure I mentioned this. Well, actually, this is in enabling, so I'll talk about that in a minute. The only other thing I think that I am actively working on is a new pair of socks. I'm doing Shirtagal by Alice Yu out of the Socktopus book, and I am using Wandering Wool on the Helvellyn sock base, which is 75% superwash BFL and 25% nylon in the royalty color, which is a dark navy blue with some darker kind of purpley areas as well. And I am making these for my husband. He actually bought me that for our anniversary, and I'll talk about that in enabling. Spinning. I have been working on the Spun Right Round braid of Falkland in Pegasus, which is peachy orange, sort of fuchsia, some blue, a bit of gray. I've been working on this since Into the Wool, so it's gone very slowly. I am actually almost done. I would say probably I could finish it in a sitting if it was a long sitting. I don't know. There are other things that I want to spin, and this one is just, it's not as exciting to me anymore. It was my first real braid. I mean, I had done little bits, but this is the first big project I had done. I've actually finished a bigger project since then, but this one, I think the problem is, not the problem, one of the reasons I'm not interested in is I'm trying very hard to spin it thicker because I want to keep it as a single, and I want to full it, just because that's how I started out spinning it. I was doing a very good job of spinning consistently, but it was thick. So now I'm having to try to keep it that same thickness when I am able to spin more thin yarn now than I was then. And so it's not what I want to be doing. Let me talk about the next project, and maybe you'll understand why. The other thing that I have finished, and this is a very small project, but I did excuse me, I grabbed one of the samples that we got it into the wool over the weekend, and it was a sample from Into the World. It was Merino Bamboo and Silk, and it was in the Godswood colorway, which was kind of grays and blues and kind of a maroony color. It was really, really pretty. But I decided I just wanted to play with that, and I had an empty spindle. So I did that, and I spun that up over the weekend. It was, you know, it's just a very small bit. I would say probably about half an ounce. I haven't weighed it yet. But I was able to spin this very thin and very consistent. It was the best I've done yet, by far. And, I mean, it looks like yarn. I just wish there was more of it. But being able to do that and then having to go back and do this Falkland that I am just kind of about, it's not top of my priorities. But I do want to get it done. So I think I will try to get that done this weekend. And then I can move on to something else. I'm trying very hard to spin my fiber in the order it came in. I say that, but nothing I've spun recently is in the order it came in. But I have a braid from Brazen Stitchery that I got last year at Kid and You that I would like to do next, which is a rainbow. So that may be up next. I'm not sure. Enabling. While I was on vacation, we visited a yarn shop in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. It is the Smoky Mountain Spinnery, and I had mentioned that I was going to go, and I had several listeners comment and tell me that it was indeed a great yarn store, so it just backed me up that I really had to get there. And I'll talk about it a little bit longer, but I had to make a concerted effort to get there. I was very glad that I did. Funny thing is, the only thing I bought was spinning related. I didn't buy any yarn there, which is so unusual for me. But the thing is, when I go on vacation, I really like to buy something that's local or something that's unique. And the only local yarn they had was hand spun, which was, first of all, a lot more expensive than what I wanted to spend for yarn. And it wasn't what I was looking for. I was wanting something locally dyed or something that spoke to me about the area. And this, it was local, but it just wasn't what I wanted. So I ended up with a couple of bumps of fiber. I ended up with some BFL in, I wish I had this out in front of me. It was kind of a bluish color, kind of a blue-grayish, I think. I have a feeling I am, no, it was more kind of like periwinkle. It's more of a periwinkle color. And so I got that. And both of these Laura picked out for me because there were too many colors and I could not make up my mind. The other one that I ended up with was Merino, 100% Merino, and it is in this gorgeous, like, teal green. It is absolutely stunning. And I've actually started working that on that in on vacation just a little bit, but I haven't done any since then. So that's not, like I said, I'm trying to spend in the order they came in, and that came in last. Luckily, I don't have a huge fiber stash, so it shouldn't be that long. I also bought a spindle while I was there, and it's a really interesting spindle. The whorl is made of, what do you call it? I guess Fimo dough. Or, what's that stuff called? You know, the dough that you make. I don't know what it's called. I can't remember what it's called right now. Everybody's screaming it at me, I'm sure. Anyway, but it looks like a chameleon. It's formed in the shape of a chameleon. And it's not terribly heavy. I said I was going to weigh it when I got back, and I don't think I ever actually did. The whorl itself, it's about 3.5 inches at the widest point. So it's a fairly big spindle, and it's a little heavier than I normally use, but it's not as heavy as it looks because it is made of this dough that I can't remember the name of. It's Fimo, whatever type of dough or, you know, clay Fimo is. So I got that. I was really happy with those purchases. I've also since then bought some Unwind Yarn Company mini skeins. Dana sold a couple of weeks ago. She had all of her Halloween colorways as a mini skein set. So I bought those to incorporate into Laura's blanket. And of course I love those. I love Unwind Yarn Company. And I mentioned that for my anniversary, Jimmy got me a skein of Wandering Wool. I still have some Into the Wool Retreat codes, and I sent him 3 and said, you choose. And so that's what he bought me. He used one of the discount codes and got me that, the Wandering Wool. I'm debating, the other 2 expire on the 31st. So depending on if we get the money we always get on the first of the month, if we actually get it early because of the holiday, I may just go ahead and use the other 2. But I'm not sure. I wasn't going to do it immediately because then it would have looked like I didn't like the present that I got, which I love. But I want the other things too. So we'll see. So that is all of my enabling. Hold on, let's see, I'm at 26 minutes, I'm not doing too bad. Another swig of coffee, sorry. I do want to mention that the Christmas All Year Long Knit Along is still going on. There is still activity in there. I have been a big, big, big fail at this. I can't guarantee that I will do anything else. I've just got so many things going that I'm being really good about plugging through my whips right now. But maybe. I did sign up for sorting for the Harry Potter Knit and Crochet House Cup for the first time in a couple of years. I don't know if I'll get sorted because it's been a while since I played, but if I did, ornaments would be a really good way to knock out some projects. So maybe I'll get back on that train. The details of that knit along are in the Ravelry group. I don't want to spend time talking about them right now because I want to talk about In the Kitchen and what I've been up to. So take a look at that. If you are interested, like I said, there are still, people playing along with that. In the Kitchen, I have down here fudge. I did make some fudge. Well, I'll tell the story about my fudge. One of the things that we kept seeing everywhere while we were on vacation was, you know, places selling fudge. And Laura really wanted to get some. So finally, the last day we were there, we bought some fudge. And it was okay. It was from a place in Gatlinburg called Apple Valley something. I don't remember. Country Store, I think. And it was okay. It was not the best fudge I've ever had. But we put it in the cooler on our vacation, on our trip, and it got wet. So we had a few pieces of that each and then lost the rest. Hold on just a minute while I let the dog out. Okay, I'm going to have to let her back in a minute. But I did make, because I had failed the fudge, or we had a fudge failure on the vacation, I did make some maybe a week or so after we got back, which was a really, really easy recipe that I don't even remember now. I will have to find it and post it in the group. It was super simple. It was chocolate chips. And I really don't remember. I'm so sorry. Utter failure. This is what happens when you make your show notes and then you don't look at them for 2 weeks. So we'll talk about, I'll put a recipe for the fudge in the Ravelry group if anybody's interested, if I can find it again. The other things that we have made, actually, I won't say we. I did make the Snickerdoodle White Chocolate Blondies. I made these, it was a Pinterest find, but Laura asked if she could help. So this was a joint effort between mom and daughter. And the fact that she came and she saw me baking and asked if she could help just made my day. When she was little, she was not one of these kids who really liked to help in the kitchen and help me bake and all of that stuff. Not that I did a lot of it then anyway. But that was not her. And now she's shown an interest. So I really love that. Sorry, I had to let the dog in. I don't remember what I was talking about. I know I was talking about the Snickerdoodle white chocolate blondies. This was a recipe I found on Pinterest. It was basically, like, I mean, what they tasted like were Snickerdoodles in bar form, but they had white chocolate chips in them, and cinnamon and sugar sprinkled over them and baked, and they were pretty good. The rest, they were from Sally's Baking Addiction blog, and I thought that they would be to die for, because the other things I've made off of her website have been, and the write-up made them sound amazing, and they were very good, but they aren't, you know, one of these things that I'm going to have to make over and over again. The other thing I made also was from, actually I didn't make this one, this was also from Sally's Baking Addiction, and these were sugar cookie bars, again a Pinterest recipe, but I shared it with Laura, and she decided she wanted to make them. So when I was at work on Friday, she and a friend made these, and these were amazing. They were just sugar cookie bars, which they used sprinkles, and I actually don't know what the recipe is because I didn't make them, but I'm sure it was from, you know, pretty basic sugar cookie recipe that you bake in bar form. But then it's topped with the most amazing buttercream. It's literally about almost an inch worth of buttercream on top of these bars. And the buttercream made the bar. It was so, so good. I got home from work on Friday. Actually, Jimmy picked me up at the bus stop because he had taken me in the morning for some reason. Oh, we had had coffee in the morning, and he met me at the bus stop with one of those, and it was so good. I would love to make more of those. The only other thing that I really want to talk about, and I'm actually going to do a longer review of this book when I have time, but I made a yellow curry out of a book I got from the library called, I think it's Simple Thai Recipes, not Simple Thai Dishes. I think it's Simple Thai Recipes. And this was just a basic yellow curry, and it turned out delicious. It was not, a lot of the curries, the yellow curries I get at restaurants are thicker. I don't know how to explain, but it's like a thicker consistency. And this was not thick, but there is another restaurant I go to where I have something called Art Car Curry, which is much more like this. It actually tasted quite a bit like that. So it was definitely a win. And I will post a link to the book, but I probably will talk about it more in another episode, so that may not come yet. I want to try some more recipes out of it. I have actually got to leave to get to work. There is no way that I can sit here and talk about all of the stuff that I've been up to. The only thing I've got left is what I've been up to, which is about my vacation. So it just occurred to me that I am actually working from home for a little bit in the morning tomorrow, so I won't have to rush out of the house. So I will pick this up again tomorrow and tell y'all all about my vacation, because I know you're just dying to hear. Until then, I'll put you on pause, and I will talk to you tomorrow. Okay, I am back. It is now Thursday, about 6:40 in the morning, and this is where I wish I was using something where I could put in fancy transitions between segments, because that's probably awkward. So let's move into what I've been up to. I am really glad that I actually was able to stop yesterday and pick up again today, because now I can talk a little bit more about my vacation without just speeding through it. It has been a month, so I don't know how much of this is going to be fresh in my mind and how much I'll remember, but I'll give you the basics. So we had a really great vacation, despite some mishaps, which I will talk about. We left, like I mentioned when I was a couple of minutes ago for you, yesterday for me. We left a month ago yesterday, so we left on July 27th, and this is what we did. So on day one, on that Sunday, we drove from Houston to Chattanooga in Tennessee, which is about a 12-hour drive from us. Excuse me. Still clearing my throat. And it was a very uneventful drive. It's pretty much a straight shot for us. We go straight across the, you know, we go straight east, and then we hit an interstate that takes us straight to Chattanooga. So it's a really straight shot. Very uneventful drive, like I said. Didn't do any sightseeing that day. Didn't stop at any, actually, we didn't even really stop for meals. We just kind of wanted to keep going. We'd stop for gas and get a couple of snacks, but none of us really were that interested in sitting down and having a meal. So we got to Chattanooga in the evening. I think it was around 8 o'clock. I don't remember anymore. And we stayed at an Embassy Suites in Chattanooga. I'd never stayed at an Embassy Suites before. And this, I keep meaning to write a review on TripAdvisor because this was a really nice hotel and it was very reasonably priced. When I was making reservations, I did a search. Since my kids are now, how old are my kids? My kids are 16 and 17 now, and my daughter's almost 18. You know, we really need a bigger room when we stay in a hotel. We don't want to spend enough to pay for two rooms, especially for an extended visit. If we just stay overnight or somewhere, we might be able to do that. But for a trip like this, we didn't want to pay for two hotel rooms. So we were really looking for some place that had a suite and, you know, either three beds or a nice sofa bed or at least space where we could blow up the air mattress we have. So I had done a search and Parents Magazine had done an article at some point about budget-friendly suites, and Embassy Suites was on there, which really surprised me. I always thought it was, about a tier or two above what we normally pay. So I priced it out and it was reasonable. I mean, it's not the cheapest, but it was no more expensive than what we had budgeted. So we ended up staying there. It was very nice. It was the nicest hotel we've ever stayed at as a family. We've stayed, at nice hotels for conferences and that type of thing. But as a family, we've never stayed somewhere like this. So, and Embassy Suites is not, it's not the Ritz or anything, but it was really nice. The rooms were really nice, very roomy, just really nice people, and the breakfast was really good. They actually have a free breakfast, and it's like hot breakfast buffet, or you can have made-to-order omelets. So that was really good. So we stayed there. We ate at Mellow Mushroom that night, which was right across the street from the hotel. We don't actually have Mellow Mushroom. Mellow Mushroom is a pizza place, for those of you who don't know, and there's probably a lot of you considering they're not everywhere. There is one north of Houston somewhere, but they haven't made it into the city yet. So that's something, it was a treat. And we had a buffalo chicken pizza. It was really good. So we did that. That was nice. It was a long wait. So while Laura and I kept our table, Jimmy and Eli walked across back to the hotel and took some of the stuff up to the room. And so that was very convenient. We got up on day two, which was Monday, and this was the day that we were driving into the national park. But what we did first was go to the Chickamauga National Military Park, which is a Civil War battlefield, which is about 15 to 20 minutes south of Chattanooga, very close to where we were staying, really. It was not out of the way. I had been talking about the military park with some coworkers before we went, and decided we weren't in a hurry that day. We couldn't check into our cabin until 2 o'clock in the afternoon. We were, close enough that was, we had time in the morning to do some things. And I've never done that. And I've been to the Vicksburg battlefield, but I've never been to any others, and it was something that I wasn't sure we'd get a chance to do again anytime soon. So we decided to do that, and it was okay. I mean, I've been to the Vicksburg military or national battlefield, whatever they call it, in Vicksburg, Mississippi, and that one is very impressive, and it's very big. Chickamauga is big, but it's just not as elaborate as the Vicksburg one. I don't know how else to say it. There aren't as many stops on the tour, which is good because we really didn't want to be there all day. But it was pretty peaceful, and I like doing those kinds of history things when we get a chance. So we did that. The funny thing about this, here's a little side story for you. So back when, about 4 years ago, I went to Washington, D.C. for a conference, and Jimmy went with me, and he had a beer there, which I'm sure a lot of you have heard of, called Allagash. It was Allagash White, and that is a beer that is made in Maine. And for a while, we could find it here in Texas, but we haven't been able to. They quit distributing in Texas. And we wanted, somebody posted a picture of one on Instagram a couple of days before our trip. And just out of curiosity, I wanted to see if they had started selling in Texas again, which they hadn't. But on their website, they had a map of where it was sold. I'm like, well, we're going to Tennessee. Maybe they have it in Tennessee. Well, they didn't have it in Tennessee, but I noticed that there was a place just south of Chattanooga called Fort Oglethorpe that did sell it at a place called Beverage World. And that kind of seemed, it was out of the way. It was south of us. I was like, oh, that's too bad. We'll be so close, but we won't be able to go get it. Well, it turns out that Fort Oglethorpe is actually the town that the Chickamauga National Military Park is in. So we ended up there, and I Yelped it, and turns out that it was actually right on our way. It was actually at the intersection where we turned to go to the military park. So once we were done with the park, we came back and stopped in, and it was such a little treasure. We were in this, little southern town that didn't seem like there was much of anything, and there was basically this hipster beer store, and it was pretty awesome. So we stocked up for the week, and not that we aren't huge drinkers, but we got some local beer. I don't actually remember what Jimmy got. I'm not a huge beer drinker, but he got whatever it was he wanted, and then I got a 4-pack of Petrus, aged, I don't remember what it's called, but it's a sour beer that I have discovered over the past year or so, and I really like. And we can't get it at the grocery store, but we can get it at specialty liquor stores or beer stores. And we found it, so I had one for every night that I was there, and it was just such a neat little find. It was not what we expected in the little Georgia town. So after that, we drove to Townsend, Tennessee, which was about 2 hours away, and checked into our cabin. And we were so pleased. We weren't really sure what we were going to find. I had researched cabins. I'm sure I've talked about this at some point when I was talking about going on vacation, or maybe I didn't, but I really wanted to stay in a cabin rather than a hotel. But I wasn't sure they were in our price range. So when I was very, very, very pleasantly surprised when I first started doing research for lodging for our vacation to find that there were many, many options in Townsend for cabins that were actually cheaper than most of the hotels all of the hotels that we stayed at on our trip. So, but I wasn't sure what we were to actually find when we got there. Was $100 a night actually, were we going to get something that was run down? We were so, so pleased. This place was awesome. It was not too big. It was actually the perfect size for the three of us. It was a 2-story cabin. It had on the bottom floor a nice living room area. The only problem with the living room area is that it wasn't very well lit, which was a pain for netting. But it had nice size living room, a nice size kitchen, and a bedroom on that floor, and a bathroom with a nice jacuzzi tub, which I took advantage of every single night. Then upstairs, there was a loft with another sitting area, which was really nice. They had a lot of games and books and just more sitting area. And then another bedroom off of that room with two beds and then another bath. It was just fantastic. And for the price or less than what we would pay for a hotel, especially in Gatlinburg. If we had stayed in Gatlinburg, we would have paid way more. So this was very, very, very nice. The name of the place that we rented from, just in case anyone is ever interested, is called Barely Rustic. And it's Barely rustic because there are a lot of black bears in Tennessee. We only saw one on our entire trip, but we didn't see any near our cabins, which is apparently fairly common, but we never saw one. So that is I would definitely recommend. Our particular cabin was called April Charm, but I'm sure all of the ones that this place rents out are fine. I would trust them. We ended up, so we did that and we went and got groceries. We cooked at home most of the night. I think actually we cooked dinner every night that we were there. We ate out a couple of times, but I don't think any of them were dinner. So we got groceries. Went and had some lunch at a place called Back Porch Restaurant, which was very near our cabin. The food was okay, but it was way overpriced. But, you know, it was a vacation, it was a tourist spot. We weren't terribly surprised, but we paid about $60 for lunch, which was kind of ridiculous. And then we drove into the national park. The Great Smoky Mountain National Park is right, Townsend is right outside the park, literally about a mile or two outside the park. And so we drove into the park and went to an area in the park called Elkmont, and they have a self-guided nature trail, which is about a mile long. I think it was 0.8 miles or something like that. And it was considered an easy trail, and this really got us into the mindset of what the rest of the vacation was going to be like, because this was an easy trail, and it was not that easy for those of us who live in flat Houston. But it was really pretty. It was late in the day, so it was not very hot. Actually, it was not hot the entire time we were there. The weather was absolutely gorgeous and did not get above about 80, 81 the entire time we were there. Perfect time to be in the mountains. And then we came back and had sandwiches for dinner. Not very exciting at all. Day three of our trip, we went back into the park. And that's actually all we did that day. We went, we drove to Cades Cove, which is another area. It's a valley in the park. It was really, really pretty. We got up really early because it gets super crowded. And we wanted to beat the crowds. And even getting up when we did, it takes about an hour, even though we're on that side of the park, to get to where we were going. And you go in, and there's actually, it's a loop. So once you're on the loop, you're on the loop. You get no turning around. And people creep. And it's very pretty, very slow. So we did that, and then we went to a place called Abrams Falls Trail, for our first real hike. And this was off of that same loop that I was talking about. We pulled over. It was not terribly busy when we got there. It was about a 5 mile hike. I don't remember exact distance, but if you look in the guidebooks, it's about 5 miles. And it's a pretty, it was the hardest hike I'd ever taken, for sure. It was a great hike, but it was hard. Lots of up and down hills, or not lots. There were three ridges that we had to cross. And they were not huge. I mean, if you are a typical mountain, if you hike in the mountains a lot, this is probably not that strenuous of a hike. But for us, flat Houston again, it was. So I had my first excitement on this trail when a lot of the trail goes alongside a creek, and we walk down and there are rocks that go across the creek in a lot of places, and they're dry and it's fine. You can walk on there and kind of get in the middle of the creek, but the rocks themselves, if underwater, are very slippery. And I have short legs. So while my children and my husband are perfectly capable of hopping all over these rocks with no problem, I would get to places where the stretch was just a little long for my legs. So we went on this one, and I stepped across and made it across, and I was fine. Then turned around to come back, and just I was very afraid. And I got across one, sort of slipped. Jimmy caught me, was fine, but I got a little bit of confidence. So I get to this other place, just was like, just do it, and slipped and fell into the creek. Ugh, it was not fun. My pants were soaked. Luckily, I had my phone in my pocket, but luckily the water ended like right below where my phone was, so my phone didn't get wet. I got a nasty bruise on my arm and scrape that I'm really, in retrospect, I could have easily broken my arm, but I didn't. It was an adventure. I actually laughed very hard when it happened because I wasn't hurt that bad. But then when I stood up, I was shaking so much. I was obviously a little bit of shock. But it was fine. Jimmy lost, in the process of this, I think, of getting me up out of the creek, somehow or other, he threw his walking stick, which was a nice, lucky walking stick, into the creek at a point where he couldn't get it again. So the dummy actually jumped into the creek to get it. I was not happy with this. I mean, I'm glad he got his stick back, but I was so worried. What I told him was, you know, I can't get you out. There's no way that I can get you out of that water if you jump in and you can't get out. But it was all fine. That was about halfway through the hike, maybe a little more than halfway through the hike. And we all hiked the rest of the way. My pants eventually dried, but Jimmy was wearing shorts that dried very quickly. Mine did not dry very quickly, but it was okay. So that was my excitement for that. The hike itself was very much worth it. There was a waterfall at the end. That's why it's called Abrams Falls. There was the waterfall at the end that was just really nice. It was really crowded down by there, but it was pretty, and we sat there for, I don't know how long, quite a while, and just watched. Eli apparently climbed up to the top of where the waterfall was using super spidey skills, and I'm glad I didn't see it because I probably would have freaked out. And then we hiked back, and it was a long hike. And that was the only thing we did that day. We went back, and for dinner that night, we grilled steaks, and they were delicious. Day four, we drove to Clingman's Dome, which is the highest point in the park. And another is, it's all of these places, the park is really big, and you're like, oh, we'll just go do this. Well, just going to do that is about an hour hike. Or, I mean, not an hour hike, an hour drive, at least. So we spent a lot of time in the car in the park, and they're very mountainy and curvy, and I'm glad my husband was driving. But Clingman's Dome, we drove up there. It's one of the most popular places in the park, but we got up and got there early, so it wasn't too bad when we first got there. You get up there, and you have to walk up this very steep path, like a concrete path, to get to the tower, which is, it spirals up and you have a really nice lookout. I have a Flickr set. Maybe I'll put a link to the Flickr set in the Ravelry group or on the show notes page. So we did that, went in to the gift shop on the way back down. And I bought a really cool book, and I don't remember what it's called, and it's not right by me right now. But it was a cookbook, but it had like Appalachian lore and stuff. It's a really neat book. So we did that to the gift shop, and then we took a hike on another trail called the Forney Ridge Trail to a spot called Andrew's Bald, which is a clearing on top of the mountain. So you walk through the woods, and then you get to this big, wide open space. And that trail was, I did not like this trail. It was very rocky. I didn't like it before the end of the trail, which I'll tell you more about when I get to it. But there were a lot of stone steps going down. It was very rocky. It was damp because there's a lot of water in the area. And it was pretty. But I didn't like it. I didn't like walking down the stone steps, and the footing was funky, and in general, I was not terribly pleased with this trail. Glad we did it, but I wasn't pleased with it. We got to the Bald, and it was really nice. We sat there for probably 30 minutes or so, just kind of chilling. And then we walked back, and about a half mile into our trek back, and it's 1.8 miles one way. So the trailhead, you know, from the bald to the trailhead is 1.8 miles. About a half mile from the bald, so walking back, not very far in, I took a step down and twisted my ankle. And I'm not talking just, you know, sometimes you'll just roll your ankle, it hurts a little bit, and you keep going. I twisted it bad, and I was really worried. When I first did it, I was really afraid that I had broken it. I mean, it was that, you know, you kind of heard the snap. Oh, that's awful. I know. I'm sorry. But it wasn't. I've broken my ankle before. It was not that bad. And I knew immediately once I sat there, okay, it's not broken. But I had definitely done some damage to my ankle. And we still had, you know, almost a mile and a half to walk. Luckily, I had a walking stick. I was able to get up, and I mean, I could put pressure on my foot, and I could put weight on it. It hurt, but I was able to walk on it. So we luckily didn't have to call. Oh, that would have been a nightmare. But we hiked, and I was very, very slowly, and I managed to get up. At some point, we just sent the kids on. They was like, yeah, there's only one way out of this trail. We're like, y'all keep going. We'll be there eventually. And it took us about an hour to do the last mile of the hike. But I did it. And I was very proud of the fact that I did it. At some point near probably a half mile or so from the end, Jimmy gave me his stick also. So I had two sticks. As soon as I did that, it was much, much better. So at some point I'm going to order myself another walking stick because I had, you know, I was much more balanced and was able to distribute my weight better, but it was really scary. And actually this week is the first week that my ankle has really kind of felt, it doesn't feel normal, but I noticed this morning that I can actually, you know, it's not nearly as swollen as it has been. It doesn't hurt anymore, you know, just in general. Every once in a while I'll kind of get a twinge, but that was pretty scary and was pretty much the end of my hiking. No, it was definitely the end of my hiking for the trip. After we did that, we finished the hike, got in the car, drove back again. It took about an hour, and we stopped at a restaurant in Townsend called the Carriage House and had lunch. And I had heard that they had fried chicken, and on Yelp, people talked about the fried chicken. So I was like, well, let's order fried chicken. It was the best fried chicken I've had in years. I grew up in Mississippi where people know how to fry chicken. In Texas, you can find chicken fried chicken, which is kind of like chicken fried steak. It's a chicken breast that's fried, and it's usually with cream gravy and stuff, and it's very good. But to get the, like, chicken pieces, legs, thighs, that stuff, you don't find it very much here. And that used to be my absolute favorite food growing up. I feel like I was practically weaned on fried chicken. And I really like it. And this was fabulous. Now, that said, I have also learned that while I really do love fried chicken, I could eat one piece and I would be happy. That's all I need. It's too greasy for me now. Oh, okay. Notification on my computer. But it was a good lunch. And then, for dinner, we cooked breakfast. We had bought some country ham, which is another thing I love that you can't get in Texas. We bought it to fry at home. I kind of wish I'd had it in a restaurant because I'm sure they would have done a better job of cooking it because I don't know how to cook country fried ham. I mean, country ham. There's different ways, there's different techniques, and I'm sure I would have enjoyed it more had someone else made it for me. But, so there was that. Day five, that was Thursday. We got up and we drove to Gatlinburg. Again, it's about a 45-minute or so drive from where we were. And Gatlinburg is if you've heard of the Smokies, you've heard of Gatlinburg. It's the main town in the mountains. And it's very, very touristy. So we were avoiding it. We weren't really there for tourism. We were there for hiking. I mean, we were there for tourism, but it wasn't the goal. But I wanted to go in. I wanted to go in for breakfast one day and get pancakes because, as my dad says, well, apparently pancakes are the thing in Gatlinburg. What my dad says is about Gatlinburg is, well, one can only have so many pancakes. So we had to have pancakes. So we went to a place called Flapjack's Pancake Cabin, which is apparently a chain. We didn't realize it at the time. I happened to find it because it was right next to the yarn store that I wanted to go to, which was really my main reason for wanting to go to Gatlinburg, duh. So we went and had breakfast at the Pancake Cabin. They were really good. We should have split them because they were huge. And again, we spent too much money, but it's vacation and we, you know, it's a tourist spot. Not that surprising, but, we did enjoy them. And then we went to the yarn store, which is Smoky Mountain Spinnery, which was right behind this restaurant. And I, even though my ankle was hurting, I was not going to be deterred. I was going to the yarn store. So I went in. It was a really nice yarn store. The owner was very, very nice. She went out of her way to be nice to my husband and my child. Eli stayed in the car, but Laura wanted to go in for some reason. She was very friendly, and I looked around, and she showed me the spindles. She tried hard to sell me a spinning wheel. I was not in a place to buy a wheel yet. Even if I'd wanted one, I could have shipped it back, but it wasn't going to happen. And not to mention I had this huge twisted ankle. I couldn't have treadled to try a wheel out. So that didn't happen that day. It will happen sometime though. But I did want to look at spindles. Carolina Spinner on Ashley, who is a member of our group, or I think she is a member of our group, and I don't know, Ashley. I don't know if you're a member of the group or not, but I know she listens because she commented after hearing that I was going to the Smokies and mentioned the yarn store that this is a really nice store and recommended that I get a spindle. So that's what I did. I asked, you know, told her that someone had recommended that I look at spindles, and so she showed me. They did not have as many as I had hoped. I mean, they had a lot, but I was kind of looking for something a little special, and they had some Ashfords. I mean, they had nice spindles, but it wasn't, I don't know what I was looking for, but it wasn't quite what they had until I found the ones that were the one I mentioned that they were made of the Fimo dough. Those were interesting. And so that's what I bought. I already talked about that though. And I already talked about what I got with the fiber. So that was a really nice visit. After that, we actually stopped at an outfitter's, which, you know, outdoor store on the way out. I forgot what Jimmy wanted. There was something specific he wanted to see if they had. I don't remember what it was. But it was on the way out of the park, so we saw it. I mean, not out of the park, out of Gatlinburg going into the park. So we saw that and stopped, and it was a nice store. And then we drove back into the park and went to Cherokee, North Carolina, which is on the Cherokee Reservation. And I had been years ago, probably 20 years ago, with Jimmy, and I didn't have very distinct memories of it. I remembered going to a museum, and that was it, and it being pretty run down. And it's still, I mean, it is obviously a depressed area, but they seem to have to be doing a little better than they were the last time we were there. There were a couple of big hotels, for instance, and I don't remember that from before. We did go to, I'm sure it was the same museum we had gone to 20 years ago, but they have obviously redone it. It is the Museum of the Cherokee Indian. And it was really interesting. My biggest thing, by the end of it, my ankle hurt so bad. I'd been standing for so long. And so the last probably quarter of it, I just kind of sped through and looked at stuff. But very nice museum, very well done. It is, of course, not the most upbeat place in the world because, you know, it's the Cherokee Indians, the history of how they were treated is not, you know, it's sad and it's not, It's definitely not upbeat, but it's important to know about. So we did that, and then we stopped at Dairy Queen for lunch, and we all had blizzards, and that was good. And then we drove back to Townsend, and we stopped at the Apple Valley Country Store, which is where I talked about getting the fudge. And this place was actually, it reminded me very much of Cracker Barrel with the type of stuff they had, minus the restaurant. But they did have a lot of jellies and jams and stuff, which I kind of wish I had bought more of in retrospect, but I didn't. I did get some blackberry seedless jam, I think, which is pretty good. And then that night we had burgers for dinner. And then the next day we got up very, very early and drove to Boone, North Carolina, which is about 3 hours north of where we were. We drove up there so that we could do a college visit. We wanted to do a college visit of Appalachian State University, which is in Boone. And it's one of my daughter's choices for college. And luckily my ankle was feeling well enough. I was able to do the college, you know, the campus tour. And this was just such a nice university. I mean, it's really small. Boone is very small. I will say it's very small. It's probably about 15,000 students, which is not that small, but compared to University of Texas, which is about 45 or 50,000, it's small. It's up in the mountains. It was very cool that day. It was only about 59 degrees and kind of rainy, and so it was kind of a dreary day, unusual for this time of year, but not, I don't think the temperature was that unusual. We just really liked it. There was a lot we liked about it. And I think it may end up being too far. I'm not sure Laura wants to go that far away, but it had a lot going for it. So we did that. We ate a quick lunch at McDonald's on the way out and then drove from North Carolina to Atlanta, Georgia. We did our tour of the South this time, I'm telling you. We drove to Atlanta, where we had dinner with Jimmy's brother, his wife, and our niece, who is 25 years old. And this is the first time I had seen Jessica since I was pregnant with Eli. So it had been just about 16 years since we've seen his brother. I've stopped a couple of times, we stopped in Atlanta once and had dinner with him. And Jimmy's seen them a couple of times when he's gone on school trips to Atlanta. But this is the first time I had seen him, and the first time they had gotten to meet, or Leslie, my sister-in-law, had gotten to meet Eli. So that was a very nice visit. We ate at the Varsity in Atlanta, which is an institution. I mean, it's their burgers, and they are, you'll see them on Food Network and stuff. The burgers are not that good. I've had much better burgers, but it was one of those touristy places you just have to go. So we had a really nice visit, and then went to our hotel. We stayed at a Hampton Inn in downtown Atlanta, which was really, we really liked it. It has some pretty bad reviews on Yelp, but there are also some good reviews. It was very convenient. It was the right price. And we didn't have any problems at all. Some of the Yelp reviews talk about the staff being rude. And I can see that when we came in, the person at the desk was not particularly friendly. But Jimmy was able, he joked around about something and all of a sudden she was super friendly. So we didn't have any problems. The hotel itself is in a historic building. I think I saw that it's on the National Register of Historic Places, and the room we stayed in a suite, it just felt old and nice, and it was really unique for a Hampton Inn. We really enjoyed that too. The next day we got up and we went to the Georgia Aquarium, which was nearby. We walked there. I had really wanted to go to Centennial Park, which is where it's a park that was made during the 1990 or for the 1996 Olympics, which were held in Atlanta. This is actually, if you remember, That's where the bombing was during the Olympics. There was a bomb that went off in Centennial Park. That's where we were. Unfortunately, there was a huge concert there. It was some type of inspirational concert. I can't remember what they called it. It was like the largest inspirational concert in the world or something like that being held there. And it was tons of people, and they had the park blocked off. It was really annoying. I'm sorry. I don't mean to offend anybody, but I really wanted to go in there, and I couldn't because of all of these people, and I couldn't go. So it was my beef. But we went to the aquarium. That was a really, really nice aquarium. We decided last minute to go to Atlanta. We had planned to go back to Chattanooga on the way back and then go to the aquarium in Tennessee, and then decided on the trip to go to Atlanta when Jimmy's brother contacted us and said, y'all are so close. You know, if y'all are going to be nearby, then we'd love to see you. And we did our calculations and realized that it was basically the same amount of time one way or the other, just in different directions. So that's what we decided to do. So we went to the aquarium, went and ate in downtown Atlanta, just at a food court. I think we had Chick-fil-A, and then packed up and drove to Ocean Springs, Mississippi, which is actually making our way home at this point. Jimmy's family is from Ocean Springs, so we stopped and had dinner with his aunt and cousin. We bought Po' Boy Express, which is a local po' boy shop. Po' boys are just sandwiches, often seafood and that type of stuff, on French bread. We had Po' Boy Express and spent time with his aunt, and then drove over to see his cousin and her daughters and spent a little bit of time there, and then went to the hotel and slept and got up the next morning, drove down to the beach because this is Jimmy's hometown and he grew up on the beach. So we always want to go see the beach before we leave. And Laura always likes to do that too. So we drove down there again. It was very cool for this time of year. We were just blessed on this trip with cool weather. So we did that. And then we drove home, and we were very, very glad to be home. That it was a great vacation. It was 8 days of travel, and that was too long. I like traveling. I was ready to be home. Would I do it again? Yes, but maybe not quite so many stops along the way. It was great, and I can't wait to go back and stay in the cabins in Townsend again sometime. I highly recommend this area for a vacation. Even though it is a very touristy area, it is very busy. If you plan right, which we generally did, get up early and do things, and we would mostly beat the crowds by the time we finished. Places would be filled up. If you plan it right, it's fine. Or you can go during different times of the year when it's not quite so crowded. The only other thing I want to talk about in what I've been up to is that we went to Austin a couple of weeks ago. Jimmy went for a conference, a day-long conference about dark skies in cities and what you can do to bring back the night sky, basically. It was a really interesting, from what I hear, the conference was really interesting. Me and my friends that we were staying with went and joined them for dinner. It was catered by Salt Lake Barbecue, which is my favorite barbecue ever. And we had dinner and then listened to one speaker, and it was very interesting. But also while we were there, while Jimmy was at his conference, my friend Denise and I met up with Heidi, who is Nudie Girl One, who has the Undead Yarn podcast and is the dyer behind Undead Yarns. We met her at Magnolia Cafe in Austin and had a really nice lunch. It was really nice to meet somebody that feel like I've known for about probably close to a year on Instagram, and I consider her a friend. And it was really nice. We had a really nice time, and I look forward to doing it again sometime. So, Heidi, it was really nice to meet you. And with all of that said, it is 74 minutes in. So what is that? An hour and 15 minutes. So this was a long one. I warned you at least, I guess, was it in my Ravelry group? I think I warned you that the next one will probably be really long. So thank you for sticking with me if you did. Oh, there is one more thing I wanted to say. I have been playing with the idea of perhaps doing video instead of audio. And if I did that, I would just put it on YouTube. I'm not going to do... I don't want to pay for hosting for that. So I am considering it. I already had a Kitchen Stitches email address, a Gmail address. So I already had an account. And so I did go ahead and set up a YouTube channel. There's absolutely nothing on it. But I would really like feedback. I know that some people prefer audio. Some people prefer video. And I don't want to lose listeners because I switch formats on a whim. So if you have a preference, I would really like if you would comment on this episode thread and let me know what you think. Do you want me, I think that there's a lot I can offer with a video podcast in terms, I do a lot of, talk about a lot of cooking. I could show what I'm cooking. I could do little videos in the kitchen. Maybe, I don't know. I'm maybe getting ambitious. But, there are things that I could do that I can't do in audio. And also, I just think knitting podcasts are, they're so visual. There are so many things that I want to show you. And I don't know how many people actually go look at show notes or go look at the, pictures in the group or anything like that. But at the same time, recording audio is super easy for me because I don't do any editing. And I probably wouldn't do much editing with a video podcast either. It would be just very minimal editing. And like I said, it would only be on YouTube. So that would lose the iTunes thing. The other possibility is doing a little bit of both. Maybe doing a video and sometimes doing audio sometimes. That way I would still be present in iTunes. Or if I could figure out how, I could possibly take the audio from a video and just upload that. I don't know. But please do go into the Ravelry group and give me some feedback on that, because even if you've never posted there before, maybe I'll start a poll. I don't know. I would really like some honest feedback on this because I don't know what I want to do for sure. But with that being said, I am ready to go. I'm going to sign off. I need to actually do some work since I'm going to work from home today. It's not time. I mean, I have not been putting it off. It's still early, but I need to do that. And I will hopefully record again next Wednesday. If not, it's possible that I'll go to 2 weeks instead of 1 week, but we'll see. I think I was enjoying doing 1 week, just a little short 1 week podcast. So we'll see. And until then, have fun knitting. Bye.